The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this May 2nd, 2022. This is the voice of the Christian resistance, and I am Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and boy, do we have a program for you tonight. So now, of course, we have standing guard. That's right, none other than the mighty Andrew.
That's right, Pastor, I am here.
He's the Lord of the board, boy. And now we have, of course, way out yonder, we have that Missouri preacher, the parson, Joe Larson. Parson Joe Larson, where'd he go? Are you there, Joe?
Intake professional assistant is here.
All right, bring him up. We can barely hear you. Can you get him, Andy? Bring him in.
He's in.
Are you there, Joe?
Yeah. What's something that just clicked off? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're loud and clear. Loud and clear.
I don't know what happened. I was just sitting here minding my own business. But anyway, your highly unpaid professional assistant is here, ready to go to work.
Well, it's about time.
Yeah, now, well, it's been waiting.
Well, we have a special guest with us tonight, a special
guest.
An old
friend.
Yeah, and here now, I've been thinking about, with all of what's going on, who would have a lot of good commentary and know what's going on in this? Well, here, I was thinking on this because the title of the message tonight was Laws for Ruling the Nation. And boom, guess what happens? My phone, unseen forces, unseen. I've got a new smart aleck phone, and it's a real smart aleck, folks. It is. But anyhow.
Smarter than both of us.
Well, what happened was the phone decides that I better call, because it calls Bill Federer. And I look over there, and it's ringing, and it says Bill Federer. And Bill answered the phone. And so this tells you the unseen forces. This time, the unseen forces were forces of good. Are you there, Bill?
Hey, good to be with you, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah, it has. It's been a while, hasn't it? Yep.
Yeah, well, you got a hold of a historian,
yep.
An author, a speaker, a teacher, a Christian, and a patriot. I think it perfectly fits for tonight.
Yeah, well, he's also a husband and a father. And, let me see, were you a Boy Scout at all?
Yeah, I was an Eagle Scout and a Scout Master.
Oh, there you go. You completed it. You're here. Okay, now, we're going to get right into the message tonight. And the message is Laws for Ruling the Nation. And in this message, we take a look at what God says about the kind of person we should vote for. And so we're going to start here tonight over in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 16. So, Joe, would you go ahead and read verse 16 through verse 22? Now, the reason, Bill, that I have Joe do all this reading is because people have been listening to me for years. They all know that I can read. And so You know, we're giving Joe a shot out there. We want him to get a good reputation. So take it away, Joe.
All right. Oh, some days.
Yeah.
Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. Judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee throughout thy tribes. And they shall judge the people with just judgment. Thou shalt not wrest judgment, thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise, and pervert the words of the righteous. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not plant thee a grove of any trees near unto the altar of the Lord thy God, which thou shalt make thee. Neither shall thou set thee up any image which the Lord thy God hateth.
All right, let's go back to verse 16. Three times in a year shall thy make, shall the males appear before the Lord thy God in a place which he shall choose, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of the Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Now, here, the designated city or sanctuary for the religious capital was not always the same. It was changed from year to year. And here when they says every male, it doesn't mean, it means every man. And I believe, Bill, it was about the age of 18 when they were required to go and pay a tithe. What do you think?
Yes, and they became the Levites, and some of them began serving at 30 years old and all the way through 60, and they had to rotate in taking turns in the temple, the Levites. It was a tremendously structured system. It was all based on every citizen being taught the law and every citizen being aware that they were personally accountable to God to follow the law. And I wrote a book called Who Was the King in America? And I go an overview of 6,000 years of recorded human history, where I studied every century since the beginning of the invention of writing, and to see what is the government that's in existence in that century. And you go from Nimrod, pharaohs, 2,000 years of pharaohs, kings of Elam, kings of Og of Bashan, kings of the different Middle Eastern areas, Assyria, and then you have the Indian Maharajas, and you have 5,000 years of Chinese emperors, and then you have the Caesars, like Alexander the Great, Attila the Hun, Genghis Khan, finally the kings of England, Spain, France, Austria. So the most common form of government is kings, and as the centuries go on, the kingdoms get bigger, because with military advancements, the king can kill more people, and with technological advancements, the king can track more people. And so, you know, they go from bronze weapons to iron weapons to big, long phalanx spears that the Greeks had, to scimitar swords that the Muslims had, to composite bows that the Mongolians had, to gunpowder that the Chinese invented. The weapon improves, but it's that same fallen nature of Cain, Kill, and Abel. And the technology improves to be able to track people. So Augustus Caesar, starting, you know, 25 BC, wanted to have a worldwide tracking system. He called it a census. If he could have had 5G and cell phones and cameras, he would have tracked people that way. So, right? And so finally, at the time of the founding of America, the King of England was the most powerful king that planet Earth had ever seen. His maritime empire included Australia, New Zealand, Hong Kong, British Guyana, Canada, Barbados, Bermuda, Jamaica. I mean, all of India, a quarter of the world's population right there, and Canada and America. And so the King of England was a globalist. He was a one-world government guy with him at the top. And America's founders decided they didn't like that, so they broke away and flipped it and made the people the king. So the word citizen is Greek. It means co-king. And we're a republic. That's where the people are king, ruling through representatives. And where did the founders of America get these ideas? From the Bible, from their New England pastors. But what particular part of the Bible? That first 400-year period when Israel came out of Egypt before they got King Saul. It's the Book of Judges period of time. It's that period where it reads a little confusing, you know, because you have different things happening. But it was maximum individual liberty. And it worked as long as the priest taught the law.
Well, here now, we have it as we pick it up. Yeah. When we pick it up here in Judges 16, verse 18, he says, judges, and now this is justice in the courts of that time. Judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, the gates is where the government business was done. Throughout thy tribes, they shall judge the people with just judgment. They shall not wrest judgment. Okay. Here that word wrest means pervert. They shall not pervert judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift. We call that bribes. For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the word of righteousness. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow. Thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, here, compare that. Now, God is immutable, right? So if he's immutable, that means he does things the same way today, tomorrow, forever. He doesn't change. Now, do you think that that applies to our government? When I tell people that the government here in America is illegitimate, according to God's word, the Bible, our government is illegitimate. It is a bastard government. I used to teach biblical law, and we have violated every single law of God. That we've lost all legitimacy. There is no legitimacy. We have a very, very corrupt, and right now we have the most corrupt government we've ever had in the history of this country here.
Because it's Antichrist.
Completely. And what Bill was talking about, you know, here, watching, you know, we know our military is spying on the people. It used contact tracing during the COVID things to contact trace families down. I mean, it's spying on us, our own military, continuously. Plus, now here, when we take a look at this, and he's talking about bribes. Do you think Joey Biden thought about that when they took millions and millions and millions from China? And from the Ukraine? What about...
And Hillary Clinton.
Uranium One?
$145 million from the... Hillary Clinton got $145 million from Russia.
Yeah.
And she gave them a fifth of U.S. uranium.
Yeah, and now they're threatening to nuke us.
They have an interesting way of doing it. They'll vote to give trillions of dollars to third world countries for things like climate change and so forth. But it really doesn't go to the country. It goes to the corrupt leader in the country who keeps a little bit and then funnels the rest of it back into the coffers of the corrupt politicians in America. So when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, guess what the poorest country in Europe was? Ukraine. Guess which country gave the most money to the Clinton Foundation? Ukraine. Right? And so here, Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, is funneling millions of dollars to Ukraine, and a corrupt leader keeps a little bit of it, and then they give the money right back to the Clinton Foundation. And so this is standard operating procedures called international money laundering.
Absolutely. Well, let's go to...
There were laws against that, Bill. Didn't there something about that being illegal?
Yeah, well, the laws have to be enforced
by
politicians and judges and if they're in on it, why would they want to? Patrick Henry gave an interesting. Patrick Henry was against the Constitution because he thought it did not have enough limits on the federal government. And he was the five-time governor of the Virginia, a pretty important person. And he says, we're staking our whole experiment of government on the chance that politicians will pass laws to punish themselves.
Yeah.
I think he had it right.
Well, yeah, you know, go ahead. Well, we had some good news today that the court that calls itself Supreme in D.C. has come out now just a little while ago and said that it looks to overturn Roe v. Wade. And so that it was never constitutional. Well, guess what? Who's known that? But here's the pathetic thing about this whole thing, and that is they said that it should go back to the states and have the states decide whether or not killing a baby is legal. You know, do you think they ever thought that maybe God had a say in all of that? What do you think?
Yeah, there's nothing more unjust than killing someone who's not sinned, who's never done anything wrong. And if God sits back and does not judge us, then he would be giving consent to it. And he's not going to give consent to it, so judgment's coming. Now, we can repent really fast, and that's what we need to do. I did hear that. I'm holding my breath and standing in faith because it had leaked out that John Roberts was against Obamacare. And, gee, then some people got to him, and he switched and came out in favor of Obamacare. He actually, in his decision, said, well, it's not constitutional, but if Congress decided to make it as part of a tax, then they have the authority to tax and blah, 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 blah. And so so I don't trust it until the decision is actually already out because we have people who have been compromised in the Supreme Court.
Compromised in a very, very major way, haven't they? And so, yeah, and here, so let me go back to our scripture here, picking up where we left off now. What we're talking about here, it all starts in the church, where God's word, and as far as for us taking America back, what has happened, it starts in the church, where God's word, the King James Bible, reigns paramount, where men are taught to submit to the Lord, and women are the wives are to submit to their husbands, and children to their parents. Now, you know, we've seen over the years men who submit unto the Lord, they are most likely to have wives that are obedient and submit to them, and likewise the children to their parents. So let's go over to Ephesians chapter 5, because we're going to look where we're going to have to start taking this thing back. So let's go to Ephesians 5. And starting in verse 22, Joe, would you read verses 22 all the way through chapter 6, verse 4?
26 through what? I mean, 22 through what?
Through chapter 6, verse 4.
Okay. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, unto the Lord, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they, too, shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
So, all right, now, we're to today, we're to see that wives are to be submissive to their husbands. Boy, this is something that doesn't go over very well today, especially with those that, I mean, wives that are good wives and submissive to their husbands, they are looked down upon by the fake news media and liberalism. But here, husbands are to put the needs of their wives and their children before their own. Husbands, right, and husbands...
Oh, something happened. Husbands, this is interesting because Christ is trying to make a comparison here. So many women think that submitting to their husband, but the way Scripture, the way the Lord's trying to teach, is that the husband is to love his wife more, in a way, almost more than himself. He is to take care, to cherish, as Christ loves and takes care of his church. And we know that he was willing to die for the church. He went to the cross for what? To save you, to save me, to build his church. He is the cornerstone, and we are the lively stones that are built upon that cornerstone, and those lively stones build a living church that worships this living God. And what Jesus is using this parable of the idea of marriage, where man and woman become as one, and it's not that man is king. He has to treat his wife with great respect, and he has to answer to the Lord for everything he does in caring for her and the children and making sure they're well and they're educated and fed and clothed. And he is
Joe,
responsible.
Joe?
Yes.
Joe, are you there? Okay, yeah. The husband, yeah, I don't know if, can you hear me very well?
I can now.
Okay, because
we've had some problems. I was told by the, I heard Andrew say take over, so something
yeah,
went wrong.
Is Bill still there?
I'm here.
You're there.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, we just want to know, we've been, yeah, kind of, you know, these kind of things happen when we're on air, huh? Anyhow, so I wanted to go back and just say this, that here, when we see this, and we talked about that, one of the biggest reasons for divorce, it's an interesting thing, because there's really no difference in divorce amongst those in the church and those without the church. And, you know, the second shortest verse in the Bible is this: God hates divorce, over in Malachi. God hates divorce, okay? And here today, that was one of the major reasons. It used to be, I know, was that when women would deny their husbands, mostly it would not went that way. We could go the other way, but usually what the women would deny their husbands, they kind of used their bodies often as a weapon, you know, when they were disgruntled, whatever.
Weapon.
In fact, I remember, you know, yeah, I remember when I was a young guy, we was working with a group of guys, and one of them came in and he said to the others, "Do you have your aspirins?" And they had bottles of aspirins. And I said, "What in the world are you doing?" They said, "No, when I go home tonight, I'm going to give it to the wife. Say, here." And when she says, "What's that for?" That so you don't have that headache, you know. But anyhow, that was that used to be a joke. But here, again, husband and wife are to become one, and they're not to deny each other. But today the main causes for divorce are infidelity. It's infidelity. You have these things called open marriage, and you have what is called today hot wives, And I was listening to these young women, a group of like college-age women, and they were complaining about being sold a false bill of goods that they had been told that they're in today's society that women have as much freedom sexually as men, and that they could, as long as before they're married, they could sleep with as many partners as they wanted. And then that would be, as long as they weren't married, that would be considered acceptable. But then they found out that's not the case. They were finding out that when their men or their fiancés found out how many men they had slept with, they said, no, we didn't know. I didn't know this. This is what they were all complaining about. And you're become soiled goods. And they said there's no stigma. Do you remember back in the old days, Bill and Joe, when if a teacher was to be caught having sex with a student, with a female student, boy, they'd bring the hammer down on him. He was going to jail. 15 will get you 20. But back in those days, and I'm talking back in the 50s and the early 60s, if a young female teacher was caught having sex with one of, especially her high school students, nothing. I mean, nothing was done, people. And the reason for that was, back in those days, all the guys would be patting you on the shoulder. Man, you had a teacher. You had a, and he would be become a hero for doing that. And so does that tell us what we've always known, that there is a big difference between men and women? Now you can talk, fellas.
Do you want to try that one, Bill?
Well, I'm reminded where Jesus said, the kings of the Gentiles lord over them, but it shall not be so among you. He that is greatest among you, let him be as he that doth serve. I am among you as he that serveth. And so the concept the world has is, you are dominant. But the Bible says, no, that the husband is to serve, and the leadership in that way. And then the idea is that you submit to the authority as long as the authority is submitted to God. And so if you have a husband who's submitted to God and he is serving his wife, and then it's the love of the goodness of God that brings men to repent. It's the abundance of love and service that causes the wife to want to submit. But if the husband is no longer submitted to God and he's telling his wife to go out and prostitute herself and so forth, is she required to submit to him? Absolutely not. What if the children are supposed to submit to the parents? What if the parents say, hey, go out and sell some drugs, go out and steal from your neighbor, go out and kill somebody? I mean, is the child supposed to obey the parents if the parents are wanting them to do those evil things? No. So you submit to the authority as long as the authority is submitted to God. Those are just some of the things. And
the big thing you mentioned it is when the man treats his wife right, he is gentle, kind, loving, considerate. These are qualities that Jesus passes on. So if you are with the Lord, obedient to the Lord, you are acting one way to your wife. And what happened, too many men weren't obedient to God. They were bossy, egotistical, took advantage of power. They were not at all in Christ, or being Christ-like. And then the women, well, I don't want to, be obedient to a man that mistreats me and yells at me and orders me around like a slave. That was never God's concept of marriage. And somehow the world just never explained very well God's concept of marriage. And I think too many pastors did not preach on it, teach on it, and the people were not aware of the simple difference between a godly marriage and a secular marriage. Would you agree?
Well, you know, marriage, you have to work at, you only have to work at it from the first day to the last. In November, I'll be married for 54 years.
Your wife deserves a medal.
Yeah, I know. But I think what Bill was talking about, you find in 1 Peter 2:13, when you're talking about submission, you know, to government and authorities, but then he goes on to say, for the Lord's sake, for the Lord's sake. So that qualifies it, because when he's talking about for the Lord's sake, he's referring to being within God's laws, God's statutes, God's ordinance, commands, promises, testimonies, judgments, precepts, etc. That is what he's referring to. And for the Lord's sake legitimizes the government, doesn't it?
Yeah, if it's that kind of government, then it's legitimate. If not, it can very quickly become illegitimate.
All righty. Yeah, hang tight. Go ahead, Bill.
To the government, as long as the government's submitted to God.
Absolutely.
If the king's telling you to go out and kill people, then, you know, if the king says, well, there's no God, it's a communist dictator king, you know, you don't obey and do unrighteous things. You know, another interesting thought on women and men is God made Adam and Eve. Well, first he made Adam, and then he put Adam to sleep, and he took a side out. And the Hebrew, from what I've been told, the word side also, the word rib also means side. So he took a side of Adam out. And in other words, Adam woke up the next day saying, I'm half the man I used to be. And we sort of know this because guys will introduce their wife and they'll say, oh, this is my better half. And so you think, well, what did God take out? Well, maybe all like the emotion and the intuition and the nurturing and the caring and a lot of the communication skills that women have that guys don't, you know. But then it's interesting. If you think of what was the last thing God made, well, it's woman, right? So he makes 6 days of creation, and the last was man. But then we have out of man, he creates woman. So the woman is the last thing that God made. And so God's a creator. Imagine Michelangelo or Leonardo da Vinci, and it's the last thing they're going to create. Do you think they're just going to throw some canvas on paint on a canvas and be done? Or do you think they want to show off their creative genius? And so, in other words, God showed the epitome of his creative genius in creating woman, right? She's beautiful, and she's intelligent and intuitive and nurturing. And so he brings Eve to Adam, sort of like showing her off, like, you know, to be admired. Like, how do you like how I'm able to, you know, create? And the woman's the only thing not made out of mud, right? Everything else was created out of the earth. Man's was made out of the earth, and woman is the only thing that was not made out of mud. And then the one interesting thing is Genesis chapter 5. It says, these are the generations of Adam in the day God created him. Male and female created he them, and he called their name Adam. So Adam is made in the image of God. God takes half out, brings half back, and God is still calling them Adam.
Adam, right.
And says, the two shall become one. So in God's eyes, it's still Adam. Now, Adam's the one who called Eve, Eve. And the word Eve means mother of all living, or could also mean mother of the living one, because the prophecy that the Lord gave is that the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. And so, but here, it's this idea that whenever you see an attack on God, there's always an attack on marriage. And that marriage, in some mystical way, I'm not a theologian, but in some mystical way, it reflects the image of God. So we're individually, we're made in the image of God, but somehow the unity of a man and a woman reflects God in a way that reveals his love. And, you know, and in a family, the husband and wife, the mother and father, they complement each other, but they're both sharing attributes of God with the children. justice and there's a grace and all that.
Well, just like, you know, when the Lord Jesus said man takes a wife, they become one flesh, and that one flesh is through the children. The Lord Jesus said, I and the Father are one, okay? And so it's in that way that it reflects, you're absolutely right. But let me ask you this, because Eve was the only woman that was created without any original sin. She had no original sin. And she was a prototype. So there are most theologians believe that Eve was the most beautiful woman that ever existed, the most beautiful, as far as that, because she was born without any, or not born, but made without any original sin. But she would have been the second most beautiful creature, because according to Ezekiel chapter 28, Lucifer was the most beautiful creation. And then that would make sense. What would attract the second most beautiful creation other than the first, right? And that's what we saw happen in the garden, didn't we? And so, all right. Now we're going to switch for 1 second here. I've got to give, people have been asking me, phones have been ringing off the hook. And folks, you know, we're a national program. We're on coast to coast, so I cannot possibly tell you who to vote for. Now, Ohio and Indiana are having their primaries, and there's a lot going on here in Ohio tomorrow, the primary tomorrow. In fact, because of the corruption in the system, we're having two primaries this year in Ohio. We have two. We have one tomorrow and one in August, and that's a long story, but dirty money was funneled into Ohio to reach who it had to reach to corrupt things. But let me just tell you this. People are asking me who to vote for. Now, I'm gonna very quickly go over this. For governor in Ohio, you've got some good choices. You've got Ron Hood and Candace Keller on one ticket. Ron Hood, I've known for a long time. Ron Hood was one of the best state representative we've ever had. He's a very good. Unfortunately, Ron's not a very good campaigner, but he was one great state rep. You have Jim Renacci, who we had on the program here, and Joe Knopp. They're being endorsed by all your pro-life organizations. You got Joe Blystone and Jeremiah Workman. They are being also promoted by the patriotic groups, the Tea Parties and that. Now, out of those three candidates, of course, you got Mike DeWine and Joe Husted. The ones that have the best chance of beating Mike DeWine is Jim Renacci and Joe Knopp. They are out there, in my opinion. Now, I'm not allowed to tell people who to vote for, but I can give you my opinions. Now, for Attorney General, you have Dave Yost and Keith Faber, okay? I would probably think Dave Yost would be the favorite there. You have four Secretary of State, John Adams and Frank LaRose. I know that most of your patriotic groups are going to go for John Adams. For Chief Justice of the Supreme Court is Sharon Kennedy. Now, here it comes for U.S. Senate, for U.S. Senator. You got a whole bunch of candidates. Now, let me ask both of you guys something. Is President Trump losing his mind by endorsing J.D. Vance?
I don't know if he's losing it, but I sure wondered why he did. It wasn't who I thought he would back.
Okay. Bill, do you have any commentary there?
No. I'm not sure the reasoning that goes into those different endorsements.
Well, J.D. Vance was the one that called Trump everything but a human being. And he was involved with BlackRock and a whole lot of, very much from what I saw, in my opinion, he's like a globalist, okay? In my opinion, the two candidates which would be the best candidates out there would be Mike Gibbons and Josh Mandel. Here in Ohio, The state's pretty much split between those two, Mike Gibbons and Josh Mandel. And so, but J.D. Vance, believe it or not, because of that endorsement, is going way up in the polls. I can tell you this, that the major pro-life organizations are behind Josh Mandel, and a lot of your Tea Party people are behind Mike Gibbons. And, of course, a lot of them are the same. So those two, either one, would be a good candidate. As far as for Congress in the 14th District, I'm going to go through these fast. Bevin Cormack or Patrick Gene Autry. Gene Autry or Bevin Cormack would be the, in my opinion, the best. As far as for judge for the 11th Court of Appeals, Sarah Thomas Culver, I would say would be, in my opinion, the best candidate. And then for out here for our county, I'll give you this quick because there's a, what's happening out here, Bill and Joe, is you've got, and of course it's not just out here, you've got Democrats that are running as Republican, and they put the word out to all the Democrats, we got to get, this is how we can get in. We can't win as Democrats, but we can win as Republicans. So the Democrats, many of them register as Republicans to vote in a primary. And that's what they're doing, is how they're getting, they're ousting actual conservatives. And you're getting going from Democrats to rhino status. So Walter Skip Claypool would be the best candidate for the county commissioner. And then for county auditor, Diane Grindel, and then also for a central committee, Heather Copper. That's my quick endorsement. So I got it done. I got it said because we're getting calls all day long from people asking who should I vote for. So there you go. That's done. Now we're gonna switch over to what's here. Here's where we're gonna switch. You ready to go there? All right. The disinformation governance board with none other than Alejandro Morocco. What is his last name? Maracos. And run up by Nina Jackowicz.
Talking about Mayorkas?
Mayorkas.
Alejandro Mayorkas, one of the biggest liars I've ever heard.
Well, he's got competition because Nina Jackowicz, she lied about the COVID thing. She lied about the Hunter Biden's laptop. She said that was an invention of the Republicans. She lied about the Russia. In fact, I don't know if anyone's ever heard her tell the truth on anything. And that's why
a bunch of statements, and I could not find one true statement that she had on her web before site before they took it down. Interesting, started off, it was up there, had a lot of interesting information, and the minute there was some backlash about her singing, it came down quickly.
Yeah, I watched it. I was listening to her. She's kind of a loose cannon, isn't she?
She's kind of weird, too.
Yeah.
It's like she's just one of those people that craves attention. And it looks like she will do or say anything to get in the limelight, be on attention. I think she's got a lust that will not quit for attention and power.
All right. What do you think about that, Bill? What do you think about this Disinformation Governance Board? Do we still have Bill with us? Okay.
Bill, are you up? Uh-oh. Did we lose him?
I think I hear him trying to talk. Bill, can you hear us there? Okay. Mighty Andy, you keep trying to get a hold. See if you can.
We're having some big troubles tonight.
I can hear him like he's way out in the background. Can you hear him, Andy?
Not really, no.
Okay. Hello, uh-huh. Bill, are you?
Well, he tries to connect to what we're talking about, this disinformation governance board. Everybody jumped on board. This is just like George Orwell's Ministry of Truth. And it is so blatantly obvious, this, you know, from that novel, George Orwell's 1984, controlling our speech. Now, they claim it has nothing to do with free speech. It has to do with the, you know, disinformation from other countries, blah, blah, blah. But the biggest disinformation we have is from the Biden administration and the, you know, media, the leftist communist media. And so here, whose speech are they going to correct? So it's got to be the conservative Christian Republican side. And this has just got to be stopped. This time we have to have our people just stand up and scream, because he is just putting this in by executive order. And with this Nina Jaworski, I mean, they're calling her some kind of expert. And she's really, I went up, she had a video on the site, and she was singing a foul-mouthed version of My Simple Christmas. And there was so much foul language, F-words and A-words and B-words, and this is not somebody we want running a public office about controlling speech. This is a foul-mouthed hussy who is trying to get rich and famous. She said, step on all my enemies, never do a thing, and be being discovered while sitting on my A-word. She was boasting on this on her web. And then she said, who do I have to the F-word to reach the goal of being famous and powerful? Those are her own words. Nina Jaworski, or whatever she pronounces it, she demanded right on her own site, who do I have to sleep with, quote, to reach that goal of being famous and powerful? This is what the left is, folks. And to me, that's sickening. And you don't hear that being reported, Pastor Nee. The reporters are not talking about the garbage she had posted for all to see. And no wonder they took it down when people say things like that. Who do I have to sleep with to be rich and powerful?
Because that's the mindset, Joe, of those at PMSNBC. PMSNBC, they were talking about if we free speech and free values will bring down democracy, that free speech is the biggest threat to democracy. And you know who said that? Elizabeth Warren.
Warren, yeah. And well, what it is, free speech is the salvation of a democracy. It's what keeps a democracy free. What do they do? They always tell you the opposite. They always say the opposite of what they're doing. And so they use words to confuse the issue, and they say the opposite of what it really is. But to go along with that, took a look at something. Big tech censored Biden criticism over 600 times during the last 2 years. Yeah, there was a media research used its censor track database, found 646 cases where people who criticized Biden on Twitter or Facebook had their comments deleted, received speech restrictions, or were outright banned. So here we have most of the major media in America banning total. Well, they found 646 cases of anybody that spoke out against Biden or censored in some form. And so now he is trying to set up a disinformation governance board. I would think the corrupt media out there already is functioning as a disinformation, you know, governance board, right? I mean, he's already got one bought and paid for.
It's the greatest one in the country, in the world, again, where it comes to disinformation. And it's it's an interesting thing. Now, I heard that Elon Musk has fired the entire board there of Twitter. And told them they're all fired. Okay, so here.
Well, I heard he made threats. The one head of person that's in head of the censorship, making like something like $17 million a year. He is going to replace her, but I guess he can't do some of this until the fall when he officially totally takes control.
Well, from what I heard, you know, the Pillow Man.
Mike Lindell.
Mike Lindell went and got right back on Twitter and was taken down immediately already.
Yeah, 30 minutes later, 15 to 30 minutes, he was taken off and canceled for life again.
Well, you know, I tell you what, it took them 15 seconds to cancel me or deny me. We called in as soon as they heard my name, they repeated it and canceled. Nope.
Canceled. I wonder why. So nice to them.
I'm wondering what happened.
They point out all their lies and disinformation. I don't know why they don't like us.
Yeah, I'm wondering what happened to Bill.
Yeah.
I could hear him. I could, like, hear him like he was in a tunnel or something. You know, again.
Well, a couple of times I had trouble. Just I'm sitting here, and all of a sudden everything, you went out, couldn't hear you. So, you know, whenever we have something really, really good or some truth we want out there, it's amazing what happens. And the engineers have told us it only happens to this program.
Yep. All righty. Well, we're going to have to hopefully Mighty Andrew can reconnect with him. And hopefully, Bill, if you're listening out there, try calling back again. You know, try reconnecting. Anyhow.
Yeah, I gave him that other number, the 216-901 backup number. And
all right.
Told him to try that. That 0933, so he has that also.
All righty, here we go with some fast, let's do some very fast-paced articles. The Prather Point disaster looms as Marburg virus may have been released through the COVID-19 vaccine payloads. Okay, lawyer Todd Callender recently warned the public of a looming disaster as he dreaded Marburg virus may have been released through the Wuhan coronavirus COVID-19 vaccines. Now we just need the actual disaster to happen. And there's actually worse parts to it than that, including to 136-page gene deletion, and effectively will turn those poor people into zombies. As odd as that sounds, our government is preparing for that. Callender told, they ought to, they started, they created it, told Jeffrey Prather during the April 22nd episode of The Prather Point on Brightington TV. The Marburg virus disease, formerly known as Marburg hemorrhaging fever, is a severe and often fatal illness in humans with a fatality ratio of 88%.
Whoa.
And so we know the Marburg is not particularly contagious, but it is an extraordinarily high rate of fatality.
Right. It's harder to get, but terrible if you get it.
And he goes on to say that the mechanism by which this will be released, that is made inside of these shots, the people already received inside the lipid nanoparticles. Okay, so we're coming up to a break, and we'll be back after this break. We'll try to re-contact Bill. Be right back with more. And Joe, give him that number.
Will do.
Give Andy the number. Be back right after this.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance.
Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.